Well, I hope you've all had a good Christmas and got all the presents and other things that you wanted. Anybody sick of turkey yet? Maybe a few of you. I'm sure that'll still come over the next few days. Well, as we come through Christmas and through December, tomorrow we'll start a new year, a new chapter in our lives. And as Nick's already shared, often what we do at this point, we come up with New Year's resolutions, don't we? This year, this is going to be it. This is the year I'm going to make it happen. This year, I'm going to get fit. This year, I'm going to lose weight. This year, I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to spend more time with family. I'm going to save my money. This year, what am I going to do this year? What should my resolutions be? What should be my priorities? Well, we're going to turn to Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3, and have a look at what this says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There are many really good things we could do this year. There are lots of great goals, lots of things to be ambitious for. But there's one thing that stands above them all, that's more important than anything else. In 2024, let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. If there's anything that the past year, let alone the last few years, has shown, there's a lot we don't know about what lies ahead. Whether it's on a global scale or whether it's in our own individual lives, the only thing I can say is that 2024 is going to be mixed. That there'll be joys and sorrows, challenges and opportunities. But we don't know what lies ahead. It's hard to know where we're going to go. But I think Richard Phillips has said it really helpfully that many Christians spend far too much effort trying to figure out what lies ahead, when our calling is to persevere wherever God should lead us. Persevere wherever God should lead us. Run the race of faith wherever God places us, whatever joys and challenges come our way, that we become more like Jesus, that we might know more of Jesus, that we might share the joy of Jesus, because we run the race of perseverance to claim the crown of eternal life with Jesus. And that's a resolution worth giving our all to in 2024. So this morning we're going to look at briefly at five things in Hebrews 12 as we run the race of faith. We're going to look at knowing your race, running free, staying focused, running together, and help for the tired. If you want to keep a New Year's resolution, you need to have a really good motivation. Maybe your New Year's resolution is to get fit, but you've got a reason for wanting to do that. Maybe it's because you want all the benefits of the healthy lifestyle that come with being fit, or maybe it's just because you want to look better for others. However it is, you've got a why behind your goal, something that motivates you, something that keeps you going because it's the real reason why you're doing it. Hebrews 12, it starts off with the word therefore. And any Bible teacher will tell you that if you see the word therefore, you need to ask what it's there for. So let's go back a bit. We're going to go back into Hebrews 11. And where does it start? Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Is this not what we've already talked about this morning? The confidence that we have, the confidence in a faithful God, as we've already sung, confidence in the God who we trust in. So we have this faith that looks forward, not a vague hope, but an assurance, a confidence. Hebrews 11 goes on, and it shows us how this works through in the lives of various Old Testament characters. We see Abel, who brought an offering in faith. He's commended as righteous by this faith, and even though he's dead, he still speaks. So we've got a faith which trusts God even beyond the grave. Then there's Enoch, who pleased God, because without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So we've got a faith that allows us to please God and to receive his reward. Then there's Noah, who built an ark, and despite what others around him, because he had faith in what God said. And Abraham, who went to the place that God called him, even though he didn't know where that place was. Why? Well, partly because his wife Sarah and he believed in God's promise, but also because they were looking for somewhere to belong, a country of their own. They could have settled where they were, but they longed for more, a better country, a heavenly one. And therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. We have a faith which points us to a heavenly home, a God who accepts us as his people. So, Andy, if you want to go on a couple of slides of Moses, it says, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. I think this is an amazing verse. You think about the character of Moses we had, and Moses was all the way back in the Old Testament, and it says he regarded disgrace in the Egyptian courts to be despised by all those riches and things, because he was looking forward to Christ thousands of years later, which he knew would be even better. We could spend the whole sermon just looking at this verse. There's so much in there. But his motivation is so much wonderful, because he looks forward to all that is coming and what God has. He had faith. He had confidence in what he could hope for and assurance of what he could not see. He ran the race. Hebrews 11 is jam-packed with these things, but even the author of Hebrews runs out. He says, what more shall I say? I don't have time to talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, and who through faith conquered kingdoms and administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength and became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. It's exhausting just saying it, but aren't these amazing stories? These wonderful men and women of great faith. But do you know what's even more amazing? If we go on to the end of chapter 11, it said these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. God had something better for us, so that together with us they'd be made perfect. With you, with me, we're numbered with all those great men and women of faith in the Old Testament there, these greats of faith, to receive all that God has promised and be made perfect like him. This is our identity. This is who we are. This is where we are found, in this people of faith, not in where we live or the job I do or the family I'm in. Our identity isn't how good I am at sports or how well I do at school or what I have or what I don't have or how I identify. No, our identity is in this great cloud of witnesses, in these great men and women of faith. We're numbered amongst them, bought with the blood of Jesus, the greater plan that God had. We're longing, as Abraham and the others did, to our heavenly home. And we're loved by God, seeking a greater reward like Moses did. If you know Jesus today, that is who you are. And that's why we run with Jesus. We run the race with perseverance. We run, some may run their lives to make a name for themselves. Others run the race of life to acquire things and have a comfortable life. But we don't need either, because Jesus has already made a name for us. And Jesus has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, a far greater reward than anything else we could get. And if you don't know that this morning, maybe this all sounds very strange. You know what? We've got an Alpha Taster course coming in 24th of January. You can get more information or sign up at the back. You can find out all about this for yourself. See what the great thing is. Make 2024 the year you discover it for yourself. So therefore, Hebrews 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. But if we're to run this race, how are we to run it? I'm going to need two volunteers. So, great, you can come up. And I need one more volunteer. Great. Do you want, right at the back, do you want to come up? Super. Do you want to take your shoes off? Instead, I'd like you to put these boots on. Going to put a few more things on you, if that's all right. Once you've got those boots on, you can have this scarf. Have a hat too. You know, always good to have lots of bits on you. Put on these gloves. Great. Now, I don't think you've quite got enough there, so I'm going to give you this rucksack. Can you put this on it? Super. Are we loaded? No, I don't think we've quite got enough here. Right, if you could just... try not to throw these around. If you could just carry these as well. And if you could come over here. Great. And then if you could come over here, super. Now, I want you two to race to the back and back here again. On your marks, 3, 2, 1, go. Go on. Great, and we have a winner. Come back. Well, I don't know what kept you up. What kept you going? Thank you. It's not so easy when we're laden up with lots of things, is it? Do you take those bits and take those? Well done. You can put your shoes back on. Thank you for doing those bits. It's hard to run a race when we've got lots of things weighing us down, doesn't it? Especially when you're young and you have a very, very heavy rucksack and boots and things which are far too large. If we're running the race, we need to run it free of encumbrances. We need to run free. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Back when this was written, the ancient Greeks, when they used to go for a run, they'd strip right down to their undergarments to race. Anything that would slow them down, they'd take off to get the best performance. A good athlete will even sacrifice good things, like maybe a party with friends, because the lack of sleep might hold back their performance. We do something similar with the New Year's resolutions, don't we, to try and keep them. If we want to get up earlier, we put the alarm clock over on the other side of the room so that I kind of have to get out of bed if I want to go and turn it off. Or if you want to lose weight, you don't leave the chocolate and biscuits around, do you? You get rid of them out of the house. What are the things that hinder you in your faith? What are the things that keep you from coming on a Sunday, getting to engage your community group? What gets in the way of what hinders you from reading the Bible regularly? And these might be good things in themselves, but if they keep you from running well, from growing in knowledge and love of Jesus, throw off everything that hinders. But just as often, it's not the good things or the bad things out there. It's the failures in here, in my own heart. The sin doesn't just hinder, it entangles us, it holds us, it trips us up. I struggle to be Christ-like because my heart gets angry and irritable and my reputation is threatened. Instead of loving others and trusting in God's acceptance of me, I become defensive and self-centered. I stop running in faith. I struggle to be Christ-like because my heart wants control. I do not trust that God's got it. I don't trust that he'll use his gifts in others to be able to do it well. And my heart hardens. I stop running in faith. I struggle to be Christ-like because my heart is full of shame. My heart condemns me rather than trusting in the forgiveness that Jesus has given me and the restoration that he's declared upon the cross. I stop running in faith. Brothers, sisters, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles if we want to run this race. We need to do it free. But I also need to stay focused. The Disney film Up, the Pixar one, says there's a famous explorer called Charles Muntz, and he has a pack of dogs. I think it might be coming up on the screen. Here we go. He's trained them to be focused for their mission. But these dogs, they've got a weakness. The squirrel. They're laser focused on their task when, squirrel! There's nothing to distract them but squirrel! And you know what? We can just be the same. I'm trying to read my Bible. My phone pings with another message on WhatsApp. Squirrel! But often the bigger danger isn't even just the immediate distractions. It's the slow drip from the messages we get in the other aspects of our lives. The way that school friends tell us we should fit in. Our work pushing us to climb the career ladder, the movies, TV shows, TikTok that feed in their messages. Even if they're more subtle than the John Lewis advert at the moment, which tells us bluntly, succumb to the sale. Slowly, our attention is pulled in another direction. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I've shared before, and hopefully she won't mind me using it without more royalties. When Belinda teaches people to drive, she'll tell her pupils that whatever you look at, you'll drive into. Look into that gap and you'll go into it. Look at the back of that car, you'll go into that. Fix your gaze on our world and you'll be conformed, changed into its likeness. But fix your gaze upon Jesus and you'll be changed into his likeness. And not just our eyes, but our ears and our thoughts. Take every thought captive to obey Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It's Philippians 4:8. And the best way to do this? Well, as the world bombards us with its messages daily, let's be bombarding ourselves with God's word daily. 2024, let's make this the year where we're reading our Bibles every day. Get yourself a Bible reading plan. Get yourself some reminders. Set some time aside. Spend time stuck into God's word, prayerfully asking that God would reveal himself through his word to you. that you might fix your eyes upon Jesus. Run free. Stay focused. But also run together. Because this isn't a solo run. You're not on your own. It's let us run together. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So we do this together. We're family here. It's not just that the saints of old that are a cloud of witnesses. But we have all the family here today. Our church family who encourage us, who spur us on. And our community groups where we help each other. Ask anybody about how you keep a New Year's resolution. They'll say, tell other people about it. Ask them to keep you accountable. When it's tough, it's hard to keep going. On our own, we struggle. But God's put us in a family to spur each other on. If somebody's struggling, then come alongside them and help lift the burden. When you need reminding of why we're running the race, ask others to lift your eyes to Jesus and point to your heavenly home. When we get distracted, when we're hindered, when we wander off course, we need each other to bring us back. I need that from you. You need that from me. Let's run this race together. Let's commit this year to our community groups this term. Let's commit to going to engage. Let's commit to building each other up. Let's commit to running this race well, encouraging each other to throw off everything that hinders, the sin that entangles, and fixing our eyes together upon Jesus. Upon Jesus, the author, a pioneer, perfecter of our faith, who I need more than anything else in this. You see, the slightly depressing thing about New Year's resolutions is that most aren't kept. There's a study done in 2016. 91% of resolutions weren't kept. And most of them failed by late January. And this isn't just a race for this year. This isn't a quick sprint. It's not even a marathon. This is a lifelong race, which is hard work. And now, I had my resolution to get fit, to spend time with my family, to eat well. And now I've got to get rid of my sin. I need to sort out all the things that are distracting in my life. I need to read my Bible regularly. I need to do my prayer. I need to get to my community group or engage. I need to encourage everyone. I'm tired. But we're promised help for the tired in this race. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so you'll not grow weary and lose heart. How do we not grow weary? How do we not lose heart? How do we not grow tired? We consider Jesus. We've just celebrated the Christmas, the birth of Jesus, who left the glories and splendors of heaven to come as a baby boy, but not just a baby. He came to be the Messiah, the one who would die at the hands of men for you and for me. As we consider Jesus, we don't grow weary because in him we see a God who cares, who's given everything, who has given even his son for us. As we don't grow weary because in him we see a God who is able to do all things, who has won the victory over death, who has able to keep us going and is able to help us to win each battle and triumph over all. We don't grow weary because in him we see a God who keeps his promises, who promised Jesus, who kept his promises, and God who has proved himself over and over again in our lives. But most of all, we don't grow weary because, as we saw earlier, in Jesus we see the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He's the one who's run the race ahead of us. He's the one who's endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God because he has finished the race. And he's not only done it himself, but he's done it for all of us so that we can have confidence that he has dealt with our sin and our shame. He's dealt with our weaknesses. He's dealt with our heart issues. He's dealt with our distractions and our wandering off the race course, and he's paid the price for it, and he has won for us the victory. And he continues to work in us. He's not only the pioneer who's gone ahead and done it for us, but he's the perfecter of our faith, the perfecter who keeps working in us, who keeps cheering us along, who keeps us going. We've not just got this cloud of witnesses and all each other to spur us on. We've got Jesus himself who's cheering us on. And every day, today and every day, he's working. He's working in heaven for each one of you. He's working in heaven for each one of you. He prays for us, and he works in each one of you, in your hearts, by his Spirit, as he's changing you. Therefore, like Philippians, we can say with confidence, he who began a good work in you, he will carry it through to completion until the day of Christ. It's not that we sit back and we do nothing. We've still got a race to run. We've still got one to run, that's one to be run free and focused and together. But it's one that Jesus, who enables us and ensures that we will finish that race well. One that Jesus enables us to fight for Christlikeness day by day, because he has won the victory. And so we have joy and confidence in him. So as we come into 2024, let's run with faith for the joy set before us. Because our identity is not here. Our identity is in heaven. Because we've got an eternal hope. We've got a certainty to come. 2024, it might be an uncertain year. One headline I read yesterday said that 2024 will be shaped by bullets and ballots. But you know what? We've got a confidence in a certainty. We've got a confidence in the certainty, because we don't live by the uncertainties of this world. But faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. So one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for that which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Who's ready to run a race in 2024? Let me read as we close with Jude, from Jude. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. This is our God. Let's stand and sing with the worship team. This is our God, King Jesus.